What we want to study today is the issue in this week's parasha of Aschanon of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillos. And as we all know from Rashi, the magic number is 515. And that's the gematria of the word Vayeschanon. So the parasha opens up with Moshe Rabbeinu's supplications to allow him to enter into Eretz Yisrael. I'll just read to you first the Medrash, and then we'll read Rashi. The Medrash, which if you happen to have the pages, I tried to send it by WhatsApp. Number 2 on your page, he says, Minayin sheispalel Moshe bi'oso aperek chameshmeos v'chameshasar chamishasar pa'amim shenemar v'eschanan al Hashem v'esahi lemar. And the Medrash adds the following 4 words, v'eschanan bi'gematria hachi havi. So the numerical value of the word v'eschanan is 515, and that represents the 515 tchinos which Moshe Rabbeinu offered to allow him to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now the gzeirah on Moshe was back in Parshas Chukas, and there Hashem, after coming down hard on Moshe for hitting the stone, Hashem says, Lachain, therefore lo tavar, you won't go across. And Chazal tell us that the word Lachain means a shvuah. So it wasn't just, you know, when he said Lachain lo saviu, actually is a puzzle, Lachain lo saviu is not just a revelation to Moshe that he's going to be enjoined from entering the land, but moreover it's a shvuah. Therefore, we don't find that in the immediate aftermath of Lachain lo saviu back in Chukas that Moshe Rabbeinu opens up with supplications. But rather it's delayed until Parshas Vayeschanan, which is at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. We're going to try to determine exactly, Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar, exactly how long before that he opened up in prayer for Vayeschanan. But Rashi tells us, I think, without even raising the question, he answers the question, why does Moshe Rabbeinu delay this process of supplication until Vayeschanan, rather than be immediate about it? And Rashi seems to imply it's because of the Shavuah. Meaning, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to Gzeirah, that's pretty bad. But if he strengthens the Gzeirah with the Shavuah, that makes it nearly impossible. However, Rashi tells us here in Vayeschanan that something changed at this moment in time, and therefore Vayeschanan al Hashem ba'eis ha'hi lemar ba'eis ha'hi. Rashi says li'achar shekavashti eretz Sichon v'og dimisi shema hutar hashvuah. Rashi says that in the aftermath of the great success in the battle against Sichon v'Og, Moshe Rabbeinu thought perhaps there was a Hataras Nedarim and Hashem is no longer bound by the Shavuah. And this Pshat in Rashi really should be joined together with something that Rashi says in last week's Parasha, in Parasha's Dvarim. And this you'll find on your page, on page 10. You know what? Rather than my announcing the page numbers, you don't have the, because you don't have WhatsApp, right? Oh, so I'm not going to bother mentioning the numbers then. But here at number 10, that was just a joke. Anyway, so it says the following. Again, if you want to open up the Chumash and Rashi, you'll open it to Dvarim Beis Pasuk Tezayin, and Pasuk Yud Zayin, the next Pasuk, and the people stopped dying That's in Pasuk Tes Zayin. And then in Pasuk Tes Zayin it says, Vayidaber Hashem Eli Lemar. Now Rashi tells us that the word Vayidaber does not appear in the Chumash from the time of the Meraglim until 38 years later at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's career. Says Rashi, it only says Vayomer and it never says Vayidaber. I'll read to you the Rashi. Avol mishiluach ha-meraglim v'yadkan lo nemar Vayidaber el Vayomer lelamducha shekol lamed ches shana shahay Yisrael nizufim. How would you translate the word nizifa into English? What did he say? Rejected.
Yeah.
So during this entire period, following the Chet HaMeraglim, the Jewish people were sort of rejected. V'lo nisyached imo ha-dibur b'loshen chiba. So he never gets dibur. Now the people stopped dying. Which people stopped dying?
The Bnei Yisrael that had to die before they entered Eretz Yisrael.
Excellent. And which Bnei Yisrael had to die? Those who were guilty of what sin?
Well, of the Meraglim.
Meraglim, exactly. I hope you don't mind that I'm asking you these dumb questions. I just want to make sure, you know, I don't want to assume anything, just to make sure we're all clear. So it took 38 years until the last of the Jews died that were included in the Gzerah. It's Mashben Chazal, by the way, that some of the people who were included in the original Gzerah, there was compassion and God let them live. And at that point, the Nazifa of 38 years terminated. And now, Vayidaber Hashem, God speaks to Moshe B'loshen Chiba, Panim El Panim. Then Rashi goes on to give a whole moral discussion about God's relationship to the Nevi'im, that the Nevi'im depend upon the people. If the people are on Nezufim, then God says to the leaders, you'll also be Nezufim. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not in any way tainted or guilty of the sin of Chet Meraglim, but because Klal Yisrael Nezufim, that expresses itself even in terms of the communication of Hashem with Moshe, and it becomes Vayomer instead of Vayidaber. And all this changes at this point. Now, what I wanted to share with you is one or two lines in the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua wrote four volumes of Chidushim on Shas. And a large chunk of his life he spent in the city of Frankfurt am Main as the Rav in Germany. In one of the volumes, the volume on Masechta Brachos, he says the following. There's something called Sheish Batei Dinim. That's the language of the Pnei Yoshua. And he tells you where he got this from. And that's from Perek Bameh Behema Yotzeis, which is a Gemara Masechta Shabbos on Daf Nun He. The Gemara there is trying to analyze a very cryptic parsha in Yechezkel Perek Tes. And one of the various mysterious parts of that parsha, there are many, many different points that are difficult, but one of them is a pasuk that says "V'hine shisha anashim ba'im miderech shar ha'elyon." So Yechezkel Navi speaks about four individuals who come from the shar ha'elyon. Sounds like they're coming down from the heavens. And the question I want to ask you, this is a rhetorical question: are they good guys or bad guys? And the answer is they're not good guys. These six guys represent what's called Midas HaDin. And Yechezkel HaNavi is foretelling what these six dinim are going to wreak havoc and impose punishments on the people of Israel. So the Gemara in Shabbos says, "Man ninu sheshes hanoshim." Who are these six people? And obviously, the Gemara understands that they're not human beings in the classical sense. There is a symbolism here. Omar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda says that these six are six forces of evil, of harsh justice and punishment. One of them is called Ketzef, the other is Af, the third is Chema, the fourth is Mashnis, the fifth is Meshaber, and the sixth is Machala. So there's six categories here of din, of judgment. So the Pnei Yehoshua has a chiddush here. And he says the following. God has two names. Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, and Elokim. Elokim represents Midas HaDin. And it is represented by the number 86. So let's work that out very quickly. You have the Mem and the Lamed, that's already 70. Then you have the Yud is 80. Then you have the He and the Aleph is another number 6 is 86. However, says the Pnei Yehoshua, this Elokim, number 86, expresses itself, manifests itself in six different ways, as we saw in Rav Chisda. And if we multiply 86, which is Din, which is Elohim Din, by 6, we end up with the number 516. Now, the Pnei Yehoshua claims that against these Dinim, there's a counterforce, which is Tefillah, prayer, and specifically the great power of the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu. But there's only one problem. Moshe Rabbeinu is short one tefillah. He only reaches 515 and not 516. And then Pnei Yehoshua says, why didn't he add one more tefillah? He was actually Moshe planning, this was his whole well thought out scheme, to defeat the six dinim with 516 supplications. The problem was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened and said to him, Al Tosif, don't add another tefillah. The people of Israel are not ready. Din still has to be prominent. And it's really heart-rendering, because had Moshe, according to Pnei Yehoshua, been allowed one last prayer, then he, Moshe, would have entered into Eretz Yisrael, the dinim would have been completely destroyed, and the ultimate redemption would have been established. Moshe would be the Melech HaMashiach, and the whole history would have changed. And I'll be honest with you, it's very rare that you open up a Pnei Yehoshua and you find such a presentation. This is very atypical of the Pnei Yehoshua. Then the Pnei Yehoshua asks another question. Maybe we'll come back to this later if we have time. How did Chazal know that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed 515 prayers? How did they know that number was the magic number? And you might say that they derive it from the Gematria of Eschanan, which is 515, but the Pnei Yehoshua says that's not so. There's got to be a more fundamental reason that compelled Chazal to assume that Moshe Rabbeinu put forth 515 prayers. So maybe we'll get back to that a little later, depending upon how much time you have and how much time I have and so forth. By the way, I just want to point out, the history is interesting. There's a tshuva sefer called the Avnei Tzedek, and he writes a tshuva to someone anonymous by the name of Ma'aloso. Ma'aloso means your highness or your greatness. He doesn't tell you who he is. And it seems that this Ma'aloso fellow, this anonymous fellow, wrote in his question to the Avnei Tzedek something very harsh a very harsh criticism of the Pnei Yoshua. Not this Pnei Yoshua that we're learning now, but of the Pnei Yoshua in a different topic. And he used the word Mevulbal, meaning that the Pnei Yoshua is confused. And the Avnei Tzedek writes him a whole tshuva about Shomer Piv Lashono, that you should be very careful what you say. And how can you use the word Mevulbal? Well, Ma'arbevis Hadvarim, Chas V'Shon Lomar Kein, Al Ma'ar Hagola, the light of the Golos, the Pnei Yoshua. And he says, even if what you think is right, that still doesn't give you a justification to call the words of the Pnei Yeshua Me'urbav. And at the end of this tshuva, he writes, take a look at what the Chidah writes about the Pnei Yeshua. Now, before we read the Chidah, because I found this fascinating, I just read to you what he says. He says, "Ubi oznai shamati." The Shut Avnei Tzedek says, "I heard with my own ears." Mipe kadosh Adoneinu Moreinu Rabbeinu Hagon Chasam Sofer. He's quoting the Chasam Sofer. Shemichibor HaRashba, from the time that the Rashba published his Tshuvas, lokom kechiburo shel Pnei Yoshua. No one reached the level of the Pnei Yoshua. This is what the Avnei Tzedek writes to this Maloso, this undefined, unnamed person, who dares to say about the Pnei Yoshua that who ma'arbevis hadvarim, that he confused the thing. So I just want to read to you what the Chidah, you know, the Chidah was a traveler. He was a world traveler. And who did he want to see? Because he wrote a history book called Shem Gedol. He only wanted to see the Gedol of Israel. So he writes about Morenu v'Rabbeinu Rav Yaakov Yosha Mikrakow, whose last name was Falk, the Pnei Yoshua. Hagon Av Bezdin, the Kila Kedosha Frankfurt Amman. And he comes in to see the Pnei Yoshua in the year Tav Kuf Aleph. Okay, I can work that out for you. Exactly what year it is. It's about 200 years ago. And he writes, Ani Hatzair, this is the Chidah, who's probably the greatest of all the Sephardic poskim in the last 2.5 centuries ago. He writes, Ani Hatzair Zachisi Lekabel Pnei Shechina. I was Mekabel the Pnei Yoshua. It was Mamash Pnei Yoshua. And he says, I was with him Eze Yomim. I was able to stay with him for a few days. Umareu Kimara Malach Elokim. V'nasan li v'matona sefer pnei Yoshua al seder moed shenitbas bo b'perek. I have a copy of the first edition. And then he writes, v'noch nafshe derav, and the Pnei Yoshua passed away, b'shnas tof kuf yud vav. We'll come back to that in a minute, because tof kuf yud vav is the equivalent of 516. That's very interesting. Anyway, now, what I want to study with you, again, you don't have it in front of you, so you'll have to trust me on this, that I'm not inventing these words. Before the Pnei Yoshua, about 2 centuries before, there was the Magala Amukos. His name was Shapiro. He also came from the city of Krakow. And the Magala Amukos on Parshas Vayeschanan says that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to enter into Eretz Yisrael kidei levatel shisha mashchisim halalu, to destroy these 6 mashchisim. Again, he has no clue about the numbers, you know, 515 and 516, that he doesn't go into. He doesn't point out that 6 times Elohim is the equivalent of 516, that he doesn't have. But he has the concept of the shisha mashchisim. And he has the concept that Moshe wanted to enter into Israel to absolutely liquidate these 6 mashchisim. And here's the Magala Amukos. He says that these 6 mashchisim, which Rav Chisda gives you the whole list of what they are and who they are, they reflect by mirror image, they correspond to six madregas of tumah, going from the most severe, which is called hames atzmo, a human corpse, is called avi avos hatumah, down to the next level, which is called hanogea v'mes, somebody only touches the dead body, he's an av hatumah. Then there's someone who comes in contact with someone who touched the mess. He's an ogea b'avatumah. He's called a rishon l'tumah. Then we go down to the fourth level, which is an ogea b'rishon l'tumah. Becomes a sheni l'tumah. Now a sheni b'tumah can only be metame truma, and that's called shlishi b'tumah. And truma as a shlishi b'tumah, which is the fifth level, could only be metame b'negia kodshim. And that's the lowest level of Kedusha, because Kodshim, if they became possible by coming in contact with Truma, we call them a Revi B'Tumah, but they cannot be Metame anything else. So there are six levels of Tumah. U'Moshe Bikesh Lahavir Vav Anoshim Elu. Moshe wanted to vitiate these six men that are delineated in Yechezkel Perek Tes. And he says to the Ribon Shalom, Evra No. Right, let me pass over the Yardin. Says the Megala Mukos, if you rearrange the letters of Ebra, then you end up with Bo Ra'a. Bo here means I will attack Ra'a, I will attack evil. Shezkave Moshe Lomar Sherotzel Levatel Ra'a. He wanted to destroy the Ra'a of the six Anoshim. He goes on to say that in Divrei Hayomim, Perek Beis, you'll see that there are six milos to the Kisei HaKavod. And those milos, Bikesh Moshe L'saknam, to rectify them, to improve them. And they are Sheish Dargin L'tova, these are the holy six Dargin, Hepuch Shish Anoshim Shebo Mitzad Miderech Tzfon. So Moshe Rabbeinu Evrana is Bara. Bara, I guess, means these six evil men who are not really human beings, but they represent the Mashlis, and are coming Miderech Tzafon. And that's based on a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Mitzafon Tiftach Ra'a. Ra'a comes from the north, and Moshe Rabbeinu wants to vanquish these six. He doesn't tell you, the Megala Mukos, what Moshe Rabbeinu was planning to do. He just says he was planning to enter into Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Pnei Yoshua fits in. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be Mispal 516, which was connected to six times Elohim. And this would destroy the six levels of Tumah that we spoke about, going from the lowest level, which is called the Revi B'Tumah, all the way up to the Avi Avos HaTumah, which is the Mess. Okay. Now, at this point, again, you don't have the Marmakomos, but we're going to take a look at a Ramah. The Ramah writes in Orach Chaim Simon Reish Ayin Aleph, Se'if Yud, these are the laws of Kiddush on Leil Shabbos. And he says, Maschilim Yom Hashishi Vayachulu Hashamayim. Now watch this. This is the Rambam. The Yud is the first letter of Yom. The He is the first letter of Hashishi. A Vav is the first letter of Vayachulu. And the He of Hashamayim. So what do you end up with if you take Rashi Tevos? Yud Ke Vav Ke. So we start Kiddush with the four letter name of Hashem, which is Yud Ke Vav Ke. And the question is why? So here we want to learn the Zohar. The Zohar says that when Shabbos enters, something amazing happens. And that is all these forces of evil that we mentioned before completely dissipate. Now, if these forces of evil, as we saw in the Pnei Yoshua, are represented by Elohim, these are the harsh judgment and punishment, then when we enter into Shabbos, which name of God is appropriate for Shabbos? Anybody? Again, I'm going to repeat my question because I'm not getting any answer, which makes me get very nervous that maybe no one's listening to me here. And you're going to blame it on the new Skype. I don't know. Well, what I'm saying is the following. If the forces of the six Batei Din of justice are operative during the days of the week, but not on Shabbos, according to the Zohar, and we saw already in the Pnei Yehoshua that those six operative forces of Din represent the name Elohim six times over, then what name of God is going to be appropriate for Shabbos? Excellent. Okay, I just wanted to hear, you know, you got to have Rachmanis on an Alta Yid. You know, I have to, if you don't respond, you know, don't just assume, oh, it's a dumb question, he doesn't. No, anytime I ask a question, I want to know that you're on board, so that's why I asked the question. Good, you came up. So we go back to the Ramah. The Ramah says that on Friday night, how do we start Kiddush? Yom HaShishi Vayichu LaShavai Rashi Tevis Yud Kei Vavke. And that Yud Kei Vavke, which is essential to Shabbos, represents the anti-force of Elohim, of Din. Because that force of Elohim, says the Zohar, has no operative power on Shabbos. So the Elohim of Din terminates on Shabbos and is replaced by Yud Kei Vavke. So the Alter Rebbe, who wrote a book called Likutei Torah, writes that if you look at the story of Bereishis, you'll see something amazing. This is in the first chapter of Genesis. He says, on every one of the days of creation, that 6 days of creation, it says, Vayomer Elohim. We're talking about the Midah of Din. And it never says Yud Kei Vav Kei until we get to the pasuk in Bereishis Perek Beis. It says Eli told us Hashemayim Va'aretz Bihi Bar'am Biyom Asos Yud Kei Vav Kei Elohim. And that's after Shabbos. So it means up until Shabbos, all we have times six is Elohim, is Midas Adin. With Shabbos, we now add a whole new element to the equation, which doesn't appear in any of the 6 days of creation, and that's Yud Kei Vav Kei. It means that during the 6 days of Maaseh, the Shlita, you know, the dominating control, is Dinim. And Dinim is the name Elohim for 6 days. However, even if the name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is totally absent in Bereishis Perek Aleph on the 6 days of creation, we find, however, the emergence of the name Elohim of Yud Kei Vav Kei after Shabbos. Shabbos is called Siluk Adinim, according to the Zohar. Now, if Shabbos is Siluk Adinim, then it makes sense that we open up Shabbos by saying Vayechal Elohim Bayom HaShvi'i. What does Vayechal Elohim Bayom HaShvi'i mean? It was completely the end, the termination. That's Vayechal Elohim. Forget about Elohim. Elohim now exits stage, and enters stage is going to be Yud Kei Vav Kei. And that's why we start the Kiddush, says the Ramah, with Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShamayim Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the six times Elohim parallel or corresponds to the 6 days of Bereishis, all of which were Elohim days. And now the Pnei Yehoshua is really sharp. He says, if you take the word Elohim, which is Gematria 86, you multiply it by 6, and when you multiply it by 6, and what you end up with is 516. So the 516 really represents the sum total of Elohim times 6, meaning the 6 days of Maaseh. And then we saw in the Megala Mukos that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to get to the number 516 in order to nullify these dinim.
Why would you say that the Yud Kei Vav Kei is not applicable during the week at all? I mean, you could say that during the week, Elohim is applicable, but why are you saying that Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is not at all?
Because Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is antithetical to law, to order. It belongs to a different world. Until God reaches the Shabbos, He's creating a physical world. A physical world operates according to the laws of nature. The laws of nature, which don't tolerate any kind of deviation, for example, if you walk off a high ledge, I can promise you, you're going to get smashed on the way down. Just like I can promise you that if you smoke, if you're a chain smoker, then Hashem, you'll get some sort of lung disease. The laws of nature, there's no compassion in the laws of nature. God creates a natural world, and that's you. That's Elohim. There's no room for Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei belongs to a whole different world. And that world emerges on Shabbos. And Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. It's really a different world. So the Rambam says, as soon as we start Kiddush, we have to introduce ourselves to this new world. We have to declare and pronounce this new set of rules, which is called Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShamayim and Vayechal Elohim, meaning we're finished with Elohim, and now instead it's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. All right. Now I want to share with you an amazing insight of the Bnei Yisachar. He writes that Shabbos is the bechina of mituk or hamtokas hadinim, which literally translates to sweeten the judgment. Why? Because we have on Shabbos the Havaya, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. But he says the following, that we have a mitzvah on Shabbos called Bitzia of Lechem Mishnah. As it says in the Gemara, Shabbos Kuf Yud Zayin, B'Shabbos Chayev Odom Livtzoa Al Shtei Kikros Lechem Detziv Lechem Mishnah. Says the Bnei Yisachar that the name Havaya is 26. And the word lechem, which we can make a very quick calculation, is 40, is 30, is 78. I don't have a calculator here, so if somebody could very quickly multiply 26 by 3. How much is 26 times 3? 78.
78? Yeah.
Okay. So he says the following, that lechem is the equivalent of three times Havaya. But we have to take not one lechem, but two lechems. Two lechems is going to be the equivalent of six times Havaya. We don't even have to work out the math, because if three times Havaya is lechem, then lechem Mishnah, which is two lechems, which is double everything, is six times Havaya. Says the Bnei Yisachar, why six times Havaya? And he gives a phenomenal answer. He says that during the week, we have six times Elohim, which is Din. Every day of Shesh Shimei, Hamas says Elohim, Vayar Elohim, Vayomer Elohim. Now we get to Shabbos. Shabbos has to undermine Elohim, but Elohim is times six. So therefore, we need Yud-Kei Vav-Kei times 6. And how do we get Yud-Kei Vav-Kei times 6? Through Lechem Mishnah. And then he says, apparently quoting the Pnei Yehoshua, that the reason why, just one second, I lost my place. He says the following, that I lost my place. That's my problem. Let me see if I could quickly find this. He says that there are two chapters in Tehillim. One is Perek Samach Zayin, that's called Lamanatzeach Bin Ginos Mizmar Shir. And there's another Perek in Tehillim, that's Perek Yutes, which is Lamanatzeach Mizmar L'David HaShamayim Misafrim Kvod Kel. The Pri Eitz Chaim of Rav Chaim Vital, the student, the disciple of the Ari, says the following. That the chapter of Lamanatzeach Bin Ginos Mizmar Shir can only be recited during the week. It cannot be recited on Shabbos. And therefore on Shabbos, we're going to recite, which is chapter 19, Lamanatzeach Mizmar L'David HaShamayim Misafrim Kvod Kel. Says the Ari, why? He says, if you look in chapter Samach Zayin, Lamanatzeach Bin Ginos Mizmar Shir, you'll notice two things. Number one, the name Yudkei Vavkei doesn't appear even once. And number two, the name Elohim, I underlined it here because I thought you would have the text, appears 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times Elohim. Without any mention of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Says the Ari, don't read that chapter. Read chapter 19. And I made a line in, underneath. In chapter 19, I don't know if you can see it, in chapter 19, the name Elohim doesn't appear once. The name Yud Kei Vav Kei, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, appears 6 times. So the 6 Yud Kei Vav Keis represent the essence of Shabbos when Yud Kei Vav Kei replaces the 6 Elohims of the Yemei Amasa. An amazing insight of the Ari. Let's go on in the Ari. The Ari Zal says the following. Kaddish opens up Yiskadal v'yiskadash mei rabo. Says the Ari, take the Rashi tables. Yiskadal is a yud. Then v'yiskadesh is a vav. Shmei is a shin. And resh rabo is a resh. Says the Arizal, read those four letters and it forms the word Yosher. Yosher is the gematria of 516. Let's work that out very quickly. Shin is 300, Resh is 200, is 500, and Yosher, which is Vav and a Yud, is 16, is 516. He says that when a person says Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Mei Rabbah, his kavana should be 516 of Yiskadals keneged 86 Elohims times 6, which is 516. So the 516s of Kaddish are meant to undermine, to liquidate the 516 of Din. And that's called Yosher. Then the Ari goes further. And he says the following. Our minhag is that at each one of the suddas of Shabbos, we're going to take 12 chalos, keneged the lechem aponim. The lechem aponim in the Beis HaMikdash on the Shulchan was organized every Shabbos. There were 6 chalos on the right side and 6 chalos on the left side. Says the Ari, the 6 chalos on the left side represent Elohim. The 6 on the right side represent Yudkei Vavkei, which is Rachamim. Therefore we take 12 chalos so that we have the 6 on the right, and he actually separated them on his table, keneged the 6 on the left to create a certain kind of a of a power of Yudke Vovke on the right side, which is Midas HaRachamim, Keneged the Lachamim on the left side. Because again, if you recall, we said that six times Lechem is the same as six times Yudke Vovke, which means six times 25. Now Tosus at the beginning of Masechta Brachos on Daf Gimel quotes the Machzor Vitri Rabbeinu Simcha, the Talmud of Rashi, and he says that when we get to the part of Kaddish, perhaps the apex of Kaddish, Yeheshmei Rabba Mevorech, what should we have in mind? And he says in the name of the Machzor Vitri, Zut Tfilos Shana Mispalushi Yamale Shmo Dichsiv Ki Yod Al Keis Yudkei Shalo Yehe Shmo Shalem. Instead of Yudke Vovke, it's only Yudke. Velo Yehe Kiso Shalem Ad Sheyimche Zaro Shalem Molek. So when we say Yehe Shme, then we're referring to the Yudke. Shme is made up of two words, if you split it down the middle, Shin Mem and Yudke, which means shame, Yudke. So the Machzor Vitri says that this is a prayer for the destruction of Amalek, because Yehe Shmei, may the name Yud K be Rabba. Be Rabba meaning being complete. So it should be not just Yud K, but it could be Yud K Vav K. And that's what we have in mind, says the Ari, when we say Yiskadal Yiskadash Shmei Rabba, that we are going to defeat Amalek and anything in this world that represents the six Dinim by Yosher, by Yiskadal Yiskadash Shmei Rabba. That's 516. The 516 will overcome the Dinim that now are prevalent and are splitting the name of Hashem, truncating it to make it Yud Kei instead of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So our tefillah for the ultimate Geula is the tefillah of Yiskadal Yiskadash Shmei Rabba. Let the Shmei Rabba, the Shmei become Rabba, to be mevatel all the dinim, and therefore the name of Hashem could be complete. The Yud Kei Vav Kei will now be complete to replace and to defeat the Elohim of Din. And that is a prayer for the Yom Shel Kulo Shabbos, for the Gula Sida, when all the Din will become Bata, when it'll be by Echal Elohim, it'll be the end of Elohim, meaning the end of that meat of Din. And there'll be a bittul of the Shisha Dinim, what we call the Malachi Chabbalah, those destructive forces. So that's Yiskadal V'Yiskadash Shmei Rabba. And again, as we said, in the name of the Pnei Yoshua, Moshe Rabbeinu prayed 515 tefillos. What he really wanted to achieve was 516 tefillos, which would have been connected to 516 dinim, and then he would have brought about the ultimate geula, the Yom Shekulo Shabbos. But Hashem said to him, Rav Lecha, Al Tosef, Daber, Eli, Od, B'Dover, Azem. Therefore, Moshe was not able to complete his lifelong endeavor, and he couldn't add number 516. And this perhaps is what Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayisaber Hashem bi lemanchem velo shama Eli. Why wasn't Hashem willing to accept a 516th tefillah, lo shama Eli? It's because lemanchem, because you're not ready for the geula, because you sinned, and you're not on the level ready for Yosher. Now, in the parsha of Mechiras Yosef, in Breishis Mem Beis, the pasuk reads as follows: Vayomru ish el echav, aval ashem emanachnu, al achinu asher ra'inu tzaras nafsho, bischanenu eleinu v'lo shamanu, al kein ba eleinu hatzara hazos. Now notice this phrase, and see if you can tell me what's unique about this phrase. It says, ish el achiv aval anach ashemim anachnu. What do you notice about each one of those six words? If you know the answer, please say it. Don't play games with me. Again, ish el Achiv, Aval, Hashemim, Anachnu.
Aleph.
Excellent. All six words begin with an Aleph. So the Shalosh says that those six words really are connected the six Alphin, where Hashem decides he's going to have to postpone the ultimate Geula for 6,000 years. And those six Alphin, which appear sequentially, Aleph, 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 etc., represent the six Midos of Din that we spoke about before, the Malachi Chabbalah. Each one now is represented by another 1,000 years, another Aleph. And it all comes down to the Mechir of Yosef. And now, hold on to your seats, because we're going to come back to the Pnei Yoshua. How do we know, how did Chazal know that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed 515 tefillos? And he says something amazing. Vayishanan el Hashem ba'esahi. Ba'esahi means that at a certain point in time, we'll call it a day X, we'll come to identify in just a second, Moshe Rabbeinu begins his enterprise, his project of tchina, of supplicating to Hashem. So Rashi says, what's this ba'esahi? Ba'esahi means that Moshe Rabbeinu waited until hutar ha-neder. You remember we discussed that Hashem said you cannot enter the land, and he strengthened that with a shvuah. But you can be matir a shvuah. And Moshe Rabbeinu thought at that esahi that there would be a heter of the shvuah. So now we want to know, on what calendar date did Moshe Rabbeinu begin his process of tefillos? So the pasuk says, "Vayehisha kasher tamu kol anoshim lamus." The people stopped dying. And then it says in the next pasuk, as we mentioned earlier, Vayidabra Hashem. Rashi says Vayidabra Hashem is an entire change of relationship. It's no longer Vayomer, it's now Vayidabra B'loshon Chibur. Why? You were in the Zufim? And now the last of the Meraglim generation died, and you're no longer in the Zufim. So the Pnei Yoshua wants to know, at what point did this shift from Vayomer to Vayidaber take place, Vayisahi? At what point did Moshe Rabbeinu stand up and say, Huter Ashvua, perhaps, and now it's time to start supplicating? Until now there was a Shvua, it was ridiculous, it was an exercise of futility. Now Hashem has softened his stance, he took Ataras Shvua. He asked me to get together a couple of people for the Torah, but I said to Hashem, you don't need the other people, I'm a Yochid Mumcha. So he left. Anyway, so Hashem was Mati the Shvua, and now Moshe Rabbeinu embarks on an enterprise, namely to pray to Hashem, let me go into the land. What is the calendar date, says the Pnei Yoshua, of Ba'esahi, of Vayidaber Hashem Eli? What is the date in which the final gzerah against the Dor HaMidbar to die in the aftermath of the Chet HaMeraglim terminated? I'll give you a hint. It's after Tisha B'Av. Because every year on Tisha B'Av they dug graves.
Tuba.
Excellent. I'm telling you, Joe, if I was there, I'd give you a kiss. Because that's what I was waiting to hear. Tu ba'af. Says the Pnei Yoshua, calculate the days of the end of Moshe's life, because we're now in the 40th year, from Tu ba'af. When did Moshe die? And he, the 7th of what?
Adar.
How many days is it from Tu ba'av until the 7th of Adar? Again, you have to know with the 5 months, he says three of them were Mole, were 30 days, there were two that were Chaser, it's 29 days. And the answer is 200. Okay. Now, how many times a day did Moshe daven? He was a good Jew. Can you guess?
3 times.
Excellent. How'd you guess three? 3 times. Okay, 3 times 200 is how much? 600. That's not good. We need to get it 550. Right. Says the Pnei Yehoshua, there's a halacha that ein mispalin tfilas tchina b'shabbos. Shabbos is excluded from tchina. And he calculates that from the 15th of Av until the 7th Adar, there were 28 Shabbos. And therefore, from the number 200, we have to subtract 28. Are we there yet?
Okay.
516. We got to subtract one more. So the Pnei Yehoshua invokes another principle. Ein hadibur misyachid in Moshe el biyom velo belayla. So on what period, at what point on Tu B'Av did Moshe Rabbeinu have the dibur, Vayidabar Hashem?
But wait a second, I'm sorry. Moshe started his talking to Bnei Yisrael. It was 30 days before he died. This is talking until his death.
Again, Joe, we're talking about Hashem talking to Moshe. I don't know.
We're talking about when Hashem tells him not to, you can't do anymore, right? The 516, the 515 is at this point by Eschanan. It's not at the end of his life. It's at the... so you're going to say it's not till his...
Right, Veschanon is when he starts the project, but Eishahi is when Hashem turns to Moshe and he speaks Vayidaber.
But you're taking the calculation to Zion Adar. Zion Adar was 30 days later. He's making this the calculations to saying how many times he davened, right? And it's taking everything into account. It's 30 days later than when this actually happened, right? The tefillah, which he was doing, should have been less that 1 month. Because Hashem tells him 30 days before he dies, stop davening. If he's going to be using this, you understand?
Wait a second. You're saying, Joe, that Hashem said to him, again, what was the, I keep losing the pasuk. I quoted before. What's the pasuk?
Al-Tosif.
You're saying Al-Tosif was 30 days before he died?
I'm saying it's only at the beginning. We say he spoke to Bnei Yisrael. He started, I don't know when into it, but it wasn't the day he died. The day he died was the last parsha was the day he died, right? He started 30 days before.
He died on Zion Adar. So the question is, on what calendar date did Hashem say to him, don't add another tefillah? I'm not sure the answer to that question.
I'm just asking, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I'm just saying, Joe, I don't know.
You understand?
No, you're raising another question. At what moment in time on the calendar year did Hashem see to Al-Tosif? Let's just obfuscate that question right now because I just want to get to the punchline. We're very close to the punchline. Let's assume, just again, this is a rabbit out of the hat, that on Zion Adar, Moshe reached the number 515, which I'm going to try to prove in a second. And then Hashem said, as Moshe was just about to add another tefillah, kaput. You know, you're finished, don't add another tefillah. Again, I'm just trying to dramatize it to make it easy for ourselves. But the Pnei Yehoshua wants to know, how do you know that Zion Adar reached 515 tefillahs? How do Chazal know such a thing? So he says that Ba'es Ha'hi, Veschanan Ba'es Ha'hi, was after Tamu kolaish lomus bikerav ha'am and vayidaber Hashem Eli, which Rashi identifies as the dibur of chiba and sheva hutar aned. So at that point, the transition, we'll call it the dibur translation. That's the moment when Moshe Rabbeinu started his project to be mispala. Why? Because at that point, hutar ashvur in Moshe Rabbeinu's mind. That day, when the Nazifa against the Anshei Amidbar, the door of the Meraglim terminated, was the 15th of Av. Says the Pnei Yoshua, on the 15th of Av, Moshe Rabbeinu began his project 3 times a day of tefillah minus Shabbos. There are 200 days until from Tu B'Av until Zayin Adar. Multiply 200 by 3 tefillos a day, you get 600. But subtract 28 days of Shabbos. When you subtract 28 days from 200, you're left with 172. Multiply 172 by 3 and you get 516. We're not doing good. We got to get to 515. We got to drop down one. Says the Pnei Yoshua that on Tu B'Av, Moshe Rabbeinu only prayed twice. What was his first prayer? Shachris. Why? Because only in Shachris by Yadavar Hashem Eli Lamar. Because Ein Adibur Misyachin and Moshe Lebiyom Velo Belaila. So Memela, 516 drops down to 515. And then Hashem says, Altos. Says the Pnei Yoshua, the Vaschanon, which is also 515, is only in a smach to be alma. Don't even begin to dream that Chazal knew that it was 515 based on Vaschanon. Vaschanon is just that's a memory device. They knew it because they calculated from the Vayadamir of Tu B'Av until Moshe Rabbeinu's passing on Zayin Adar, there was room for 515 maximum tefillos. And then Hashem said, you can't go beyond. Says the Pnei Yoshua, why can't he go beyond? Because Elohim, which is 86 times 6, is 516. And Moshe Rabbeinu, had he prayed his 516th prayer, he would have completely undermined the din. But Hashem said, the people of Israel, Vayis'aber bi l'manchem, they're not ready for it. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. I hope you got something out of it, and I hope it, you know.